T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hello and welcome into another Straight Up Diddy Takeover here on ESPN Upstate. I, of course, am Diddy, your host for the afternoon, joined as always by producer, rock DJ, really just sports talk legend and superstar around this building, the one and only Diesel.
No, you're setting too high of an expectation. We are 30 seconds into this. I am Sports Talk's most decent producer.
Most decent producer.
Most decent.
Fine.
And
that's
I'm
fine.
Okay with that moniker. Most decent is fine by me.
I think that's the most decent show that we're doing today, then. I'm probably the most decent fill-in host,
you know,
going along with you.
I got a piece of advice from an old man sitting in a restaurant, like a soda counter in Boone, North Carolina one day.
Okay.
He said, son, just keep hitting base hits.
Yeah.
He's like, we were talking about women.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, just keep hitting base hits. Every now and again, you're going to hit home run.
That's right.
So there you go.
That's right. Just have that even swing. Make sure to get the, you know, bat above the ball. Hit some line drives.
It's all in the hips.
Getting too into it, too in-depth in baseball. Well, we're going to talk a good bit of baseball today because obviously I'm here and I love baseball. But also, your Atlanta Braves are really good right now. We're going to bring on Fox Sports South's Corey McCartney around 5:20. Braves won 5 in a row. Sweep out in San Diego this weekend. Huge win last night in Milwaukee. We'll see if Corey agrees with me that this Braves club is the most legitimate threat to the Dodgers in the National League or not. Also, conference media day is upon us. Mark Ryan and Lonzo will be up in Charlotte tomorrow for ACC media day, and all the other media days are going on this week. So we'll get into that, and we'll talk a little about how it's just kind of a waste of time, and it's all about fan reaction and how stupid fan reaction can be in periods of time like this. Obviously, as I do usually when I'm on, we have some Twitter polls for you over on Twitter.com. At ESPN Upstate is where you can find them. There are 4 polls right now. There may be more coming as the show goes along, but right now the main 4 for you. Let me go down to number 1 here. Twitter poll number 1, are the Braves a legitimate contender, legitimate threat to the Dodgers in the National League? Right now it's slanting to absolutely. Poll number 2, what are your expectations for the Panthers in 2019? We'll talk about that in depth later on in the show. Poll number 3, what's the worst case scenario for the Gamecocks this season? There's a lot of options right now. Just finishing below 500 is the worst case scenario. I think it could get much worse than that down in Columbia. And finally, poll number 4 for right now, what is the worst case scenario for Clemson in 2019? And yes, you do have the option to say there is none, 15-0 again, which I know a lot of people want to do, but think about it outside the box. Try to think about it as non-Clemson fans and say, what's the worst thing that could happen this year to that team with who they have to play going forward? And, you know, you might think maybe they choke against somebody, against even maybe a Carolina on the road, or A&M comes in and takes them out, something else.
You can't tell a homer not to be a homer.
I mean, I'm kind of a homer, too, and I'll tell you that it's much worse than below 500 as worst-case scenario for the Gamecocks. Much worse.
Trying to get somebody who's driving around in an old Ford pickup in in Gray Court to say, just to even consider not being a Clemson fan for a minute.
Yeah.
It's unfathomable.
Well, I'll tell you this.
You can't take the Tigers out of the boys around here.
So
can't do it.
So far, and I mean, we do have a predominantly Clemson fan base in listenership here, obviously being in the upstate, in the Tigers, Tiger Nation, Tiger Country, whatever you want to call it. And right now, the two options are neck and neck, lose 2 and miss the playoffs. And finally, who is tied with that at 34% so far, lose to the Gamecocks. That could be your only loss, but would that be a worst-case scenario? Just losing to the in-state rival that has struggled for the last handful of years to even stay above the water. Would that be a worst-case scenario?
Ooh.
Getting a little cocky, being 12-0, 11-0 going into that game, you know, you never know.
Yeah, what's worse, losing 2 games to anybody else but South Carolina and missing the playoff, or just losing to South Carolina?
Just the one loss, but it's that team.
Yeah.
Is that the worst
case? That's the one you don't want to lose to.
Exactly. And that's right now tied for the lead as the worst case scenario for Clemson. So we'll get on those throughout the show. We'll keep updating you on them. Keep voting on them over at Twitter at ESPN Upstate. Obviously, you can chime in at any time, 844-477-3776. text us on the text line 71307. Make sure to lead that with ESPN so we know you're not talking politics to us over here. Since the last time I got to host the show, it was back in May. There's a lot of stuff that's happened. Obviously, U.S. women winning the World Cup. Toronto Raptors won the NBA championship. Bruins got pummeled in Game 7. All of that fun stuff that I missed. But now we're sitting here at the cusp of football. It's starting. The supposed quote-unquote unofficial beginning is here. SEC Media Days, ACC Media Days, whatever else, Media Days. But I'm so sick of seeing all of the headlines, all of the talk, all of the Twitter buzz about how there's nothing to watch. There's so much going on in sports, and it's been going on all throughout what everybody calls this dead season of sports. Later, we're going to talk about what we watch that's non-sports during dead season, and we definitely want you chiming in on that as well. But right now, as a true sports fan, Diesel, tell me, if you're a true sports fan, shouldn't you just love sports and not even have a dead season? Like, where is a dead season if you're an actual sports fan?
Well, I mean, what is there to watch right now?
We got the British Opens this weekend. Baseball's reaching fever pitch for the pennant race. Your local team, the Atlanta Braves, leading the NL East.
Speaking of local teams, new blog on the website. Go check it out. We're not going to get to that right now.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later.
But, yes, the Atlanta Braves are the local team for the entire South.
The entire South, and really a lot of the country because of the TBS package back in the day. I watched them as a kid. It was Red Sox and Braves growing up in New England. So, you know, I just don't think there should be a dead time. You have the MLS is really a lot better of a product than everybody wants to give it credit for. If they haven't given it a chance, they don't know. If you watch it, you'll realize it's a better league and much better soccer than it has been in the past. And if you were into the Women's World Cup, why don't you want to keep watching soccer? There's great matchups in the MLS, especially right now, hitting that stride for playoff pushes down the stretch in the MLS. And we have teams. Atlanta is one of the good teams, the MLS Cup champs last year. Might be getting another team in Charlotte. It's time to kind of get into that MLS vibe.
What has the MLS done to capitalize on the women's soccer success and the eyeballs that they got because of that success? And I personally, you know, I watch plenty of ESPN. Mm-hmm. I don't see much I didn't see much during that run to say, hey, this soccer is great. You should also care about MLS. They don't do a very good job of that.
Well, right now you're going to see them make a big push to try to get people to watch NWSL because ESPN bought the rights to air all the NWSL games, which has all of the women from the U.S. team in that league. That's basically the premier league of women's soccer around the world. So they're trying to push that. That's the unfortunate thing with the MLS is it's tough to kind of take a Women's World Cup and translate it into, hey, but watch these guys too, because it's kind of a different viewer. But what I'm saying is if you love sports and you sat down and watched an entire Women's World Cup, give MLS a chance because it's good, and you have a good team down the road in Atlanta. You have another one possibly coming up the road even closer in Charlotte. This could be a lot of fun to be a part of, and trust me when I tell you, and Greenville's finding out with their two teams, with Greenville FC, with Greenville Triumph, that the soccer culture, the supporter culture is a ton of fun. And you're seeing a great crowd come out, the supporters at least, with both of those clubs, with the Milltown Operatives, and I'm blanking on the other one, the two supporter groups. So it's a lot of fun to see that, and that's something that you can build into an MLS fandom. Like, there shouldn't be a dead season if you're a legitimate, passionate sports altogether sports fan, because there's sports happening. The British Open is this weekend. We just finished Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open is coming up. Serena's still dominating. We had maybe the best Wimbledon men's final I've ever watched, maybe anybody's ever watched in their lives, with Federer and Djokovic. I just can't take anybody telling me anymore that, oh, this sucks, I wish football was back, there's nothing to watch. There's a ton.
But the average sports fan needs a break. They can't. Most sports fans are not going to be into everything you put on just for the sheer sake of competition. It's like somebody asking somebody, what kind of music do you listen to? Oh, I like all types of music. Really? Do you like Scandinavian death metal? Probably not. Hell so don't tell me you like all kinds of music. You're lying to yourself, and it's okay to take a little bit of a break. I mean, we all have lives. There's a lot of people who can't make sports their lives. They're too busy raising kids or having jobs or, you know, getting drunk and riding big wheels down the road up there. Where was it? Like Pickens. It was nearby. Pickens, yeah. It was close by. Sorry to keep picking on Pickens today, but I mean, you know, when a story is local, you got to stick with it. I mean, yeah, people can't watch everything.
Yeah.
It's impossible. We can because it's our jobs. It's our jobs to watch everything.
Yeah.
Their job is to live their lives.
And that's fine. And I'm not saying you have to watch everything. Just don't try to feed me this line that there's nothing to watch, that you have nothing there for you. when there's a plethora, especially with our modern technology, and I have, you know, ESPN Plus, I can watch the Green Bull Triumph streaming on ESPN Plus when they play their games. So, like, everything's out there for you. Even when the Triumph aren't home, if you like to go to those games, be watching it. Make sure you watch it. They're on ESPN Plus.
Yeah. I did not know that.
I watched them play Orlando the other night, and I'm sorry, I was cheering for Orlando. That's my team. So it's twice a year. They play each other twice a year going forward because they're in the same league. It's the B team for Orlando City, and I'm City till I die. I was down there for all that. It was a lot of fun. But I'm just saying MLS is way more fun than people are giving it credit for, and there's plenty going on, and even though Sturge hates it, I think the Summer League is a lot of fun just to see some of these guys that we might not even see on the NBA stage and to see some guys that are going to burst onto the NBA stage, like, say, a Taco Fall that didn't even get drafted. So it's a lot of fun, I think, to check that stuff out, too. There's just a lot going on. And I keep seeing these, I can't wait for football. There's nothing to do. There's a lot to do. A lot.
Go fishing.
Yeah.
go fishing. Go cut the grass.
Yeah. Go downtown. Hit a brewery. I work at one. You can come see me. Like, do something. But, yeah, it's just not – it's not a dead season to me. I don't think there's any dead season in the year for sports because, I mean, I guess because I'm such a crazed sports guy that I'm watching everything and anything. But, you know, if you're into your local team, Braves are in the playoff push. And we're going to talk about that a lot later with Corey McCartney and in my Bases Loaded segment coming up at the end of this hour. Really, the storylines going into the British Open right now are really good because of the way the course lines up. It's one of those courses that you don't have to hit the ball long. Tiger talked about this yesterday. It's kind of opens up the field for guys that don't hit the ball long to get in the mix. You really have to play a good short game, be smart, play the role well, and it could open it up to somebody we've never heard of before coming out as a major champion this weekend, or we could see a resurgence of Tiger again, or maybe just another one of the guys who we've been seeing a lot of lately with, you know, the winners as of late and Koepka and Dustin Johnson and everybody else in the mix. But it should be a good weekend for the British Open, and it's just so many sports going on. I think it's something I tweeted out the other night where we've become such a hater society that we've hated ourselves into not enjoying anything anymore. So it's just everything we watch now. God, that sucked. God, that's terrible. I had a guy on Facebook just tearing apart Stranger Things 3.
Which was great.
It was phenomenal.
It was great.
And then I remember this guy hated Endgame. This guy hated Infinity War. This guy hated both Star Wars, all four of the new Star Wars. This guy hated everything I've ever seen come out in the last 3 years that I've known him since he was a listener of mine in Orlando. And I was like, I just think this guy's hated himself into never being happy. And I think that's been the problem. And that's why I hate baseball. I hate soccer. Yeah, but you're watching the USA play. You obviously don't hate it that much. So it's just we've become such a hater society. And it just frustrates me, I guess. I think that's where I'm coming from.
You know, it used to be cool to hate.
Yeah.
It was cool. Yeah. I'm too good for this. Here I am saying I'm too good for this sport. And then it just slowly crept into everything.
It started with everything. What I called hipster hate. People only hated the things that were hip to hate. Like, and it happened a lot in sports in, like, the markets of the teams. When I was in Orlando, all of a sudden we had Ricardo Kaká, one of the greatest soccer players of all time in the world, won a Ballon d'Or out in Europe. He's one of the best there's ever been, and they hated him because the team sucked. But it was like, well, okay, this is hipster hate. This is totally hipster hate. And that's where it was. But we've morphed, like you said, we've morphed into just a full-on loathing of life, and that's bad. Give things a chance. If you like sports action, fun, you can't tell me that MLS is boring when there's 90 minutes of nonstop action and there's only 13 minutes of action in a football game. I mean, that's a bad excuse. Maybe you just don't like soccer, and I guess that's fine. But don't tell me there's nothing to watch, because there's always something to watch. Speaking of something to watch, conference media days are here. Our boys, Mark Ryan and Lonzo are heading up to Charlotte. And they are going to be at ACC Media Days tomorrow. Well, we're going to tell you why I'm already annoyed by Media Days. Just already sick of it, already over it.
Aren't you doing what you just said people do?
Nope.
You're already
because
hating.
This isn't sports.
You hater.
There is no sports happening this week. That's all next on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Straight Up Diddy Takeover on ESPN Upstate. Chime in with your opinions. 844-477-3776. Get us on the text line 71307. Start your text with ESPN. And don't forget tomorrow to tune in to Offsides with Mark Ryan, him and Lonzo up in Charlotte. ACC Media Days, giving you the live coverage of all things ACC football, getting ready for the seasons. But speaking of ACC Media Days and SEC and American Athletic and every other media day that's going on, I don't really like them. It's nothing against the event itself or the conferences, because I get why they do it. I get why it's important. And, it obviously is nice, build up and hype for the upcoming season. But it really becomes a big headache when it comes to fan reaction to nothing. Nothing happens in the next couple of days. Nothing. Clemson's not taking the field. It doesn't matter what Dabo says on a podium. That's not going to make them better or worse upcoming season. It doesn't matter what Muschamp says down in Hoover and what players might say or how confident they look. It's just all speculation. There's nothing that we're going to see over the next week that isn't speculative. There's going to be rankings that fans are going to absolutely lose their mind over where their team is ranked. And they mean nothing, because it's not about anything being played. You're telling us, for the most part, a lot of things we already know. And let's look at the ACC to really think about this. How are you really going to justify a ranking as being legitimate or really at all confident in that ranking beyond Clemson? Like, who are you putting 2 through 14 that you're actually confident that they're going to be there? Because there's really no telling. There's rumors that maybe Virginia gets in the mix, that maybe NC State gets over the hump, that maybe Miami's back, that maybe. The only thing we know for sure in ACC football is that Clemson is still the king and nobody else is close in that conference. That's it. And they're going to tell us that, and then people are going to throw a fit that aren't Clemson fans for Clemson once again. Oh, they lost their defense. They're still the best team in the conference. They just are. That's just how it is right now. The ACC, not very deep. And then on the flip side with Carolina fans, and I'm calling out my own fan base, we're basically being told 6-6 is our gold standard for the season with the schedule ahead. 6-6, hopefully a bowl game.
That should be unacceptable.
That should be unacceptable. But when we see the rankings for the SEC by the SEC media in a couple of days, and they're ranked 11th or 12th because they're expected to be 6-6 or even worse because of their schedule, everybody's going to lose their mind and freak out and attack writers on Twitter. And how dare you tell us that our average team is average? What's wrong with you? I mean, it's just such a nonsensical period in time for me. Like, I get that we're hungry for football to be back. We want it back now, not in a month and a half. But guess what? It's not being played tomorrow up in Charlotte. It's not being played this week down in Hoover. It's just nonstop speculation and maybes.
You know, and you got to feel for a lot of sports writers who it's their job to put together these lists. And, again, it's all a guess at this point. And there's no empirical evidence of any of this.
No.
Except for probably Clemson and Alabama being excellent again.
Yeah.
But the problem is fans can't delineate what's real from what's not real.
Yeah.
Because real is the results you're going to see on the field come late December. Not real is what some guy who's making $30,000 a year tweets out in the middle of July.
Yeah.
But the problem is most fans are so stupid that they take this stuff so personally.
So personally.
That it translates into real world consequences.
Yeah.
It's the idiot fans who say, Joe Blow beat writer, you said my team's going to finish fourth in the division. You should go kill yourself.
Yeah.
It's those fans. And when there's a barrage of thousands of these idiots, and there are millions of these idiots, but when you start kind of needling it down to the tiny little core of one team, one ranking, there are thousands of idiots who will tell a guy that he sucks at his job, that he should be fired, that his wife is cheating on him, that his kids are stupid,
yeah.
that he should go kill himself, that he should walk into traffic, and they do it. There's a lot of people out, nobody does that. Yeah, they do.
Yeah,
they do. And that is a massive problem. And the problem is there's nothing that can be done about it.
Yeah.
Twitter can't go in and say, this guy is abusive. We're canceling his account. We know who he is, and we'll never let him have an account again. Because you know what? As soon as it gets canceled, boom, just pops up with a new account.
Exactly. Get a new Gmail.
And it manifests itself in real ways. Consider being that writer, and you know this is going to be a touchy feely kind of statement for me here. Imagine being that writer who's told all of those things.
Yeah.
That you're stupid. That you should be fired. That who let you work here? Your wife cheats on you. All this stuff. Imagine hearing that stuff. Why would you want to post this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I don't know.
For the kind of money that you're making, it's not worth the heat that some of these people take. So,
no.
You know, it goes back into something that I'm sure you'll get to at some point later on in the show. You brought it up every time you come on the show about being better fans.
Yes, absolutely.
This is an opportunity, everybody. Who's driving around, who's ever pulled out their phones and slammed somebody because you disagree with their take in July.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity to be a better fan.
Yeah.
Say, hey, I disagree with you and here's why. Not go walk into traffic.
Yeah. Instead of telling people they suck at their job and, you know, everything else, it's easier to have a conversation. If you came at me on Twitter with, hey, I think you're wrong here, here's a couple reasons why,
right.
I'm not going to call you a clown and block you.
I see it a lot, in online message boards, because I love reading that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
With this Matt Michelle Orlando Sentinel poll that he does, the rankings that he does every single year. This guy's an idiot. This guy doesn't do any research. He never looks past the Power Five. On and on. Like, do you really think?
Let me tell you. Matt Michelle's a good friend of mine. That guy never stops researching. Yeah. His podcast, by the way, is called, I think it's called College Football 365 because it's going on 365. He's always involved in college football.
But it's, I disagree with you. You didn't rank my team 10 spots above where you actually did, where I think you should have ranked him. So you're an idiot who doesn't do his job.
Yeah.
Shut up.
And it makes it frustrating for, I guess you would say, guys on our level that we're trying to, like, grow in the sports media field. For me especially, I mean, I did some articles for Sporting News a couple years ago, and the first one was very tongue-in-cheek, kind of playful, like an introduction to myself, and I talked about how we need more legends in baseball and kind of made Kyle Schwarber that Babe Ruthian legendary guy. And I even said multiple times, this guy will not be as good as Babe Ruth. He will not have that many home runs. He will not be an all-world player, but he could be legendary as far as the stories we tell. And that could help baseball bounce back overall, because that's what you grew up with, the legendary stories of the guys of past years. We could have that. And I got murdered. I think I have the entire city of St. Louis blocked on Twitter now, because God forbid a Cardinals fan takes something at face value and doesn't take it personally, like me saying that was a shot at the St. Louis Cardinals. So it happens so many times, and it's just disgusting, and we're going to see it at a fever pitch in our area because college football is such a huge deal, because college football teams are such a personal thing to everybody around here. All it takes is one meaningless, rarely accurate ranking system, preseason ranking, to throw people into a complete frenzy on social media. And it's just, it's asinine. It's bonkers, in my opinion. And I have to keep saying it. Like you brought up, I say this every time I do a show. It's on my blogs I've written. I've done it on my podcast. It's be better fans. It's not about you overall. You're not playing. I'm not playing. We like a team. My family is 50-50 Red Sox and Yankees fans. I can still have dinner with my cousins and be friendly and love them because they're my family, my best friends. My girlfriend is a Clemson fan. We can still hang out and be together because it's just football. It's okay. Yeah. It's going to be fine. Even if the guy's right, it's going to be okay. Guess what? Next fall, they're going to be right back playing again. Even if Clemson loses 6 games this year, shocks you, blows your mind. How could this even happen? They could show up next year and win 15 and win the national championship, and it all goes away. So relax. Deep breaths, America. This is meaningless talk we're going to have the next couple of days. It's cool. I like the hype building of it, because now we're trying to say, okay, now we're weeks away. Now it's time to start looking at these games. But don't take anything at more than face value when it comes to a ranking. because it doesn't matter.
You know what's interesting is yesterday Sturge's blog was all about why NBA Summer League is pointless.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that next segment.
Why there's too much NBA, why there's too much this, too much that. Aren't college football media days the exact same thing?
Yeah.
It's just something to put on, something to talk about when we're still, you know, a month and a half away from the season. It is it is filler content. That is all media days are filler content.
Exactly.
You're right. A coach is not going to come out and say all of a sudden, oh, crap, man, we got nothing. The cabinet is completely bare. We don't have a running back. Our quarterback stinks. We might as well pack it in for the season. You were never going to hear a coach say that, even though he might actually think it.
Yeah, like Muschamp's not going to walk up there and be like, you know what, with this schedule, you know, 4 or 5 wins, that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
No, he's going to try to act like they have some chance at a national championship contendership, that they can fight for the SEC East, even though he knows there's no chance. It's just not going to happen because that's their job. And then people are going to get mad at him for saying something positive. Like, how dare you think your team is good?
but it goes back, you know, even goes back to your last segment. Everything is wrong. Everything is, we should hate on everything. I don't like this. No matter what they say, they're going to be wrong. If they come out and say, oh, we're going to win 10 games, then all of a sudden Mississippi State fans are mad because, oh, my God, somebody thinks that they're going to beat us? No way. You know, and then
and it comes from bad teams, too. Like, you know, we could kind of assume Carolina will beat Vanderbilt.
Right.
But if there's a Vandy fan listening right now, they're like, whatever, man, we're coming up. Anchor down.
It's our year.
And it's like, no, you're not. You're not a football school. Congrats on your baseball championship. But it's just it's being too serious. It's taking it too personally. And really, it goes into the filler, like you were saying. And I'm going to get into this with the NBA Summer League and Sturge's blog from yesterday, that this is worse filler than any NBA summer league. We sit there and we watch dudes run around and lift weights in underwear in the spring. We sit there and we watch a bunch of guys wearing suits shake hands with the commissioner and get their names put on a list in the early summer.
Yeah.
And we sit there and watch every training camp that has no actual football happening as far as a game is concerned, and these media days as well. And then we get mad that they're showing us baseball on a Sunday night, or they're like, well, I don't like that. I don't like this.
Go find something else to do with your life.
Yeah, but there's filler all the time. There's filler throughout the year. Guess what? NFL and college football are only Saturday and Sunday. Do you know what Monday through Friday is on every sports station? Filler.
Yeah.
Getting to the next game so we can talk about what happens in that one. So it's all just it's meaningless nonsense that we're going to turn into a big end of days scenario, at least by this Friday.
Do people not know what these Hard Knocks series are? They are filler.
They're filler.
They're filler from the NFL to keep you watching their network so they can sell you stuff.
Yeah, because let me tell you this. I guarantee there's a lot of production going on as far as telling these guys to be a little bit more edgy, telling these coaches to drop an extra F-bomb or two, making sure they're, you know, that next level, like, oh, man, it looks like their front office is crazy. This team's got a problem, you know. It's all built up.
Got to hype it all.
Yeah, it's all Kardashian.
Scripted reality is
exactly
what they call it.
Reality shows have been dead for decades. This is all scripted reality. But we're going to get in.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To more of that and really talk about more filler content, Sturge, he thinks the NBA Summer League is filler content for ESPN. He's probably right. But I personally will take it over any NBA regular season action you can give me. I'll explain why next on ESPN Upstate. Tons going on this straight up Diddy takeover here on ESPN Upstate. If you weren't aware of it, or maybe have been living in a bunker somewhere, you're getting it daily original content at ESPNUpstate.com. We're packed to the brim with that new original content from us, your friends at ESPN Upstate. Today, Diesel put up a new blog asking if Greenville can become a major league city. Yesterday, our fearless leader and usual host of this program, Mr. Mark Sturgis, took a shot at the NBA Summer League. I'm sure Tyler Butler came on and kind of took him to task for saying all those things, but he doesn't think anybody's watching it. He thinks it's just filler content. He's right about the filler content. It's really all filler content if it's not regular season, playoff, you know, everything else as far as sports are concerned. And we talked about that at length last segment. But I think what he's wrong about is the fact that this is better than the regular season, especially the regular season before Christmas. I can't watch the NBA before Christmas, and I barely watch any of the regular season after that because it's just, for the most part, not good. You get your handful of good matchups, but there's really so many bad teams in the NBA, it's tough to really stick with it all the time. I think for me, it's better in baseball, even though there's probably about the same amount of bad teams, but I like it better that they at least have a three-game series before leaving town. I'm not watching the one-off, you know, with the Magic playing, I don't know, who's really bad. Somebody really bad. You know, I don't want to see that. I'm just not into it. So it's something that I get excited for just because it's basketball that gives me some kind of, you know, knowledge going forward into the season. It's showing the team's building process in a little bit different of a way than we see in other sports. When you have spring training baseball, you see some of the young talent, but you're also seeing the guys getting ready for the season that are going to play. Preseason football, you know, in the first quarter, depending on which game, by the last game, you get probably about a half worth of your starters, and then you see some of the other talent, but not as much. This summer league is only the up-and-coming talent. You don't have the superstars. You have maybe possible superstars, and obviously Zion had the knee knock. They pulled him just to be safe. That's not a stupid decision for that big of an investment. But you see in RJ Barrett, you're seeing guys who got drafted who have a chance to become big names in the league, and you're seeing guys who are fighting for their chance, which makes it more interesting to me. It makes it more entertaining to me because these guys are playing with everything they've got to get an opportunity for the most part. You're seeing a guy like Taco Fall take over the narrative of the summer league. He wasn't drafted, which still blows my mind, but he wasn't drafted, picked up undrafted by the Celtics. He's been the talk of the entire thing. And he's played really well. Could be a very interesting guy to have on that roster the way they've built it, coming off the bench playing 15 minutes or so, relieving a center and getting some good minutes, blocks, rebounds, everything else. You get to see how your team is setting up their future. And I think that's better than watching the first half of the regular season that's just kind of like, meh, they're just walking through it.
Maybe if the NBA had some sort of relegation system, you know?
Fair.
The guys who are underperforming are out. And get that, you know, maybe that's what this G League should be. It is a developmental league, but there's a whole lot of malaise within the NBA season. You know, you it's because the season is too long. We've talked about that ad nauseum. You know, there's a lot of rumors of limiting. You know, Adam Silver's brought it up himself about limiting the number of games per season, and maybe that will get these guys. A, it'll get these guys a little more rest, so they don't have to take time off. And B, it'll make every single game count a little bit more. So guess what, LeBron? You can't take a Wednesday night game versus the Hornets off because it still means something.
Exactly.
Because if you lose, then it drastically affects your team.
And that kind of plays into what the NFL was talking about that we'll just touch on for 2 seconds and say it was stupid. The 18-game season with a 16-game cap per players. Like, that almost makes it the NBA where you're going to sit guys for certain games, and that's garbage as well. But I think the G League's done a good job as far as, you know, at least producing a few guys. You just don't see as much because, for the most part, there's a distinct line between an NBA guy and a non-NBA guy. You'd think that you'd see some of these dudes be able to come up and play for the more garbage teams, you know, get a chance out in Sacramento, get a chance, you know, somewhere that's not very good. But again,
There is a reason why they are in the G League.
Yeah, there's a reason why they're in the G League. But you see, Fred VanVleet came up from the G League. He was an undrafted guy, went through the G League. The Toronto Raptors liked what they were seeing in his development. He comes up, he's a major player in a championship team all the way through the playoffs. So it could go either way. But the G League, you know, I'm not going to watch the G League because I saw these guys in Summer League, but I like watching these guys fight in Summer League. They want it. They're hungry. They're desperate because this could be the end of basketball for them in their lives. They could have a shot in the G League. They might not even get that if they don't perform in the Summer League. So I just see so much more of a desperation and hard play in this summer league, heart altogether, in the summer league because of scenarios like that. And then again, the chip on the shoulder for guys like a Taco Fall, who somehow goes undrafted, saying, hey, watch this. Watch what I can do out here with all these other guys, including some of the dudes you did draft. I'm dominating all of them. So I think it's great. I think it's a lot of fun, but I do agree it's filler. But it's good filler. it's better filler than a coach talking about how his subpar team is going to be out there fighting every week hard. It's better filler than a dude wearing underwear running a 40. It is. It's good. It's good basketball. It's interesting to see the talent. And, you know, you get little star-studded kind of moments where they're showing who's in the crowd, when LeBron and AD show up, when who else shows up. And, you know, it gives you a little bit of behind-the-scenes NBA as well, which is kind of fun as well. It's almost its own version of Hard Knocks, but there's actually basketball happening.
All right, so in your mind, is it on par? Let's just say, for example, some of these developmental football leagues could actually survive on a financial level Alliance of American Football could survive if the XFL does survive and especially is directly linked to the NFL.
Yeah.
See, that's where the G League and the Summer League is smart because they are a direct affiliate of the NBA.
They wear the uniform of their team.
Right. You know? So these developmental football leagues, would you sit and watch developmental football with the same gusto that you are praising the G League for?
I watched the AAF. I watched it very religiously, I guess you would say. I definitely was cheering for the Orlando Apollos, obviously, being slightly from there-ish, living there for 5 years and being a fan of Spurrier for the years he gave us decent football at Carolina for once. And so I watched to see and it was good, I thought it was pretty solid football. I knew they didn't have the money. I knew there was no way they could sustain it and keep putting on these games and keep paying these players, and it fell through really fast. And it was unfortunate, but I think if the NFL would buy in, and man, do they have the money to do so, they could make
more than
a developmental league that worked, because you saw a handful of dudes out of the AAF get picked up. You saw guys get contracts in the NFL because they looked really good in a system, in a league that had pretty decent football. Like, I wouldn't say it was necessarily close to NFL caliber, but it was like a pretty good college game every week. Like, not a Bama Clemson, but a pretty solid game. I enjoyed all the games I watched.
And you could even argue, if you're watching two bottom of the barrel NFL teams go at it,
it was better than that.
Is it real?
I think it was better than that.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like, if you had like a Jets-Browns game 2 years ago, I think these were better.
Still better.
I think these were better games. And that's the problem was no funding, no support. You're playing in empty stadiums because it's not in the football season. Nobody's really with it at the time. It was just a harsh attempt. It was a bad attempt. XFL will do better because they have a billionaire to back them.
Right.
They have Vince McMahon. AAF didn't have that. They were hoping to just get the goodwill of football fans to fall in line and say, oh, football in spring, we got you. Nah, it didn't work. We've seen that fail numerous times. At least this time, it seems that everybody at least got what they were owed up to the point where it fell through, not like the USFL days. But we're going to switch from football over to baseball. Second half of the season has begun in Major League Baseball, and I have the control of the mic, which means Bases Loaded is next on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate. Well, seeing as it is a straight-up Diddy takeover, that means we got to do a little Bases Loaded here on ESPN Upstate. Let's get that music rolling for me. There's no better music in baseball than This Week in Baseball. And I'm still disappointed that you didn't know what it was.
See, if I heard this without knowing the theme, I would think this was some sort of, like, regatta music.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to NBC Sunday afternoon coverage.
I mean, fair.
The New England Regatta.
It kind of was in that that ilk, because it was like This Week in Baseball, and so, but we're gonna use it because it's all about baseball for the next couple of minutes to finish up the hour real quick. Obviously, we're gonna start off with your Braves right here in the Southeast, the team of the Southeast, the team of America, really. If you were a kid of the '90s, the Braves are back, and the Braves are rolling. I continue to be right about them as much as everybody tries to act like I was wrong about them last year. If you remember, I did not book of promise them beating the Dodgers. I said I could see it happening. I did book of promise last year that they would win the division, and there you go. I was correct about that. I'm still correct right now, and as bad as their pitching has been this year, this team hasn't lost a series since the beginning of June. Not one. They split one series. That's the only one they haven't won since the beginning of June, and that was a four-game split up in Wrigley. And now they start the second half on a five-game win streak, starting obviously the game before the All-Star break, sweeping the Padres out west in San Diego, winning last night against the Brew Crew, who's a heck of a baseball team up in Milwaukee. Freddie Freeman goes yard. Max Fried is great yesterday. You've seen the pitching, as far as the rotation is concerned, kind of look a little better, at least to start the second half. Really only one scare from the bullpen was Saturday night out in San Diego. They survived it. They get the extra innings win, get the sweep out in San Diego. It's never easy to fly across country and get that kind of a sweep. So that's a huge win for them. I think this team is set up to easily be the most legitimate threat to the Los Angeles Dodgers going into the end of the season, into October. They're only four games back, five in the win column, four back in the loss column of the Dodgers for the best record in the National League right now. As long as they can do something in the next 2-3 weeks, and we'll talk more about Corey McCartney, about what that could be later in the show, but as long as they can do something to get another starter and maybe one or two bullpen hands to really solidify that rotation and that bullpen, I don't see anything that can stop this team from being in that position to beat the Dodgers and maybe win a National League pennant and go play for the National League in the World Series. We will get more on that from Corey McCartney. He'll tell you if I'm wrong or not later in the show. He's coming on at 5:20, just about 25 minutes or so. Secondly, baseball right now, and we've seen this over the last week, especially with the All-Star festivities, the Home Run Derby and everything else, baseball's in great hands right now. Baseball is in wonderful hands with the youth of the league. The question still remains, can the MLB do anything about it? Do they figure out finally how to market this insane amount of superstar talented athletes that they have in this league right now? You look all over this league, there are studs everywhere. It starts at the top with Mike Trout out in Anaheim, and it's all over the country. Your young guns down in Atlanta with Riley and Swanson and Ozzie Albies and Ronald Acuna Jr. All over the league, there are guys like that coming up and showing out, and it's a lot of fun to watch. We saw it on full display in Cleveland for the All-Star festivities. Home Run Derby was really nothing but youth with all the young players coming out. Jock Peterson, Pete Alonso, the polar bear winning it all. Obviously, our boy Acuna, Vlad Guerrero Jr. So much young talent around this league, and it all comes down to what Major League Baseball can do to not just market these guys in their regions, because it's easy to sell a guy on the region they live in and they play in, but to sell them nationally and make this league what it used to be, where we grew up idolizing these guys.
Yeah, they need to take a big look at what the NBA has done to market superstars, but at the same time, you have to figure out how to manage that superstardom. You know, the NBA, it's gotten out of control. The players run the league, not the owners, not the coaches, not the commissioner. They're just all along for the ride. It's the players who are going to pick and choose what's going to happen with this league. And Major League Baseball, look, I don't know a thing about Mike Trout's personality.
Yeah.
I don't know a thing about Acuna's personality, because it's not marketed that way.
Yeah.
And in a way that somebody like me, the average fan, who's not a Major League Baseball mega fan, can and will actually consume it.
And I think, unfortunately, that goes to the old fuddy-duddies of the baseball fans, the old-school thought, the peg people who showboat, the whine and complain about bad flips kind of society that baseball had built over the years. We need that to go, because that's how you get to know these guys' personalities. The Acuna's bat flips, all the fun. Let them be kids and play a kid's game for millions of dollars as adults, because that's more fun for us to watch, and that could help you market these guys. Instead of villainizing a guy for a bat flip and praising a guy for throwing at his head, flip that. Maybe flip that and make it fun for the kids, make it fun for the adults, make it fun for everybody to enjoy baseball again. And again, just make these guys lovable. It's not that hard. They did it all week long in Cleveland for the All-Star game. Those mics on the guys in the outfield, that was a blast. But we're going to go into the NBA, talk about how ridiculous it is that the players have all the control, because the 76ers just gave an enormous amount of money to Ben Simmons. And I think that them and other teams are pricing small markets out of free agency. We'll talk about that next on the Straight Up Diddy Takeover, ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.